This is Monitor New York. 9 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is Jim Gerhardt, your host, on this Sunday, June 16th, Father's Day, 1968. With music for Sunset Strings. Sunset Strings, I'll set my love to music. And out there, I suppose people are setting their egg timers to our music on a Sunday morning. Father's Day, and of course right now, the dad's, at your house, I'm certain. Oh, dad's still upstairs. He's still sacked in. And mom and the kids are preparing the breakfast that'll be served in bed, right? Isn't this exactly what you're doing now? I thought so. Anyway, if you didn't, let this serve as the reminder. It's his day today, dad's day today.
This interview is being conducted at a Carvel store located in the Bensonhurst section of Brooklyn. I'd like you to meet the store owner. Your name, sir?
Danny Dawson.
Mr. Dawson, how long has this store been open?
3.5 years.
What sort of work did you do before you acquired a Carvel franchise store?
I was a watchmaker all my life.
Are you satisfied now that you have your own Carvel store?
Very much so. It's been very successful. I have made very good money, made a nice living. Last year, I was able to take my mother to Ireland for a vacation and bought a little home for her there. She'll be going back soon, and I hope to retire there eventually myself.
Now you can own a Carvel 36-flavor ice cream store in some locations for as little as $5,000 cash. For information, write Department N, Carvel, C-A-R-V-E-L, Yonkers, New York, or phone area code 914-Y09-7200. That's 914 and then Y09-7200. Song by Patti Page, something new, and it's called This House.
Was a time this house stood tall with bursted pride, and love held it together strong. And these walls held me confined inside a joy my heart knew it could build a life upon. Was a time these rooms were arms that kept me warm, and gave me colors to gentle town. Now the wind just blows the past around, and this house settles deeper in the ground. Was a time time this doorway reached for me and closed behind me, saying I was home. This empty fireplace that stares at me once burned a fire that I know few have ever known. These wilted roses came with promises and shared the happiness that I had found. Now the wind just blows the past around, and this house settles deeper in the ground. Was a time I knew his laughter like my face, and his smile took away my wings. And his hands kept me a prisoner in a world so full of love that I had everything. And this freedom that I'm feeling now is due to me, now that I know he's gone. And this house settles deeper in the ground. The wind just blows the past around, and this house settles deeper in the ground.
Hi, this is S. Michael Survey with another Secret Mike Survey for your Pontiac dealer. To find out reactions to the Pontiac Teenage Expert campaign, I interviewed a clerk in a delicatessen. My Secret Mike was hidden in a pickle.
Would you say that again, sir, and speak into the pickle?
Yeah. Ladies, take a number and line up while I talk into this pickle here. You know that little pickle that reminds me? My son got me out of a pickle. You see, I was going to buy a low-priced car, but my son, the expert, pointed out that for the same money, not only could I be a wide-tracking sport and drive around in a 1968 Pontiac, but I'd own a car that has a great resale value. Say, that sure is a tiny pickle.
Yes, it's the latest Japanese transistorized gherkin. It's also a camera. Would you like a pickle picture of your Pontiac?
It's Martin's, it's 68. Your weekend companion keeps you up to date. With good news and music and quality on NBC.
9:17 on WNBC's Monitor New York. And this is Jim Gerhardt on this Sunday morning. And now for Father's Day, Monitor New York reaches into the past. Imagine yourself for the next couple of minutes sitting in a parlor around the turn of the last century, and you're having a musical evening, and you're ready for a good cry. And the singer sings,
Daddy, dear old Daddy, you've been more than a daddy to me. You might have gone with the boys every night, but you gave them up just to bring me a bride. Daddy, dear old Daddy, way up above, she can see. You were more than a dad. You're the best friend I had. Daddy, you've been a mother to me.
Daddy, you've been a mother to me. That's Jimmy Roselli on Monitor New York. Member stores of the New York State Food Merchants Association now carry as many as 8,000 different products to meet consumer demand. Now, that's an increase of about 4,000 items in the last 10 years. In addition to numbers of items, New York food store shoppers have a fabulous variety of foods available to them. Variety of flavor, preparation, and package sizes. There are now more than 1,100 new convenience foods waiting for you with built-in time and labor savers. This message from the New York State Food Merchants Association. It's cloudy. It's 70 degrees now. 70 degrees and cloudy from WNBC. Variably cloudy today and tonight with a chance of showers or thundershowers late this afternoon or early tonight. So if you are going out today, be warned of that possibility of thundershowers later. Temperatures today, the high near 80. Overnight low in the low 60s, and for Monday, tomorrow, considerable cloudiness with showers and thundershowers likely, and the high in the mid-70s tomorrow. So it's back to the monsoons again, after a couple of clear days. 70 degrees right now, and it is cloudy. Earlier in the week, WNBC's Bill Mazur had a conversation with Monsignor George A. Kelly, Secretary for Education of the Archdiocese of New York, and they discussed the Supreme Court ruling upholding the constitutionality of the state law in New York that allows lending of textbooks to parochial and other private schools. And here's a bit of Bill Mazur's conversation with Monsignor Kelly.
With me on the telephone is Monsignor George A. Kelly, who is Secretary for Education of the Archdiocese of New York. Monsignor, how are you?
How are you?
Good, thank you. What is your reaction to today's High Court decision?
Well, I think it's a very happy one. It's a pleasant one. We certainly seem to have at least one decision of the Supreme Court on the side of kids attending parochial school, so we're naturally a little bit delighted.
You said it with a great air of patience, Monsignor.
Well, you know, it's been a sort of a long kind of battle a bit, you know. Actually, I think that few people, you know, realize that this law that was, you know, looked at by the Supreme Court today with some air of finality, really began as an aid to the public schools of the state, and not the aid to parochial schools. Most of your local school boards have had, you know, difficulty in recent years paying for some of their tools, and the cost, you know, of textbooks was one of the big, you know, items of expense. And in going for state aid, the legislators in Albany, with the recommendations of some of the, you know, prominent people up there, decided that they couldn't give state aid for textbooks for public school, you know, youngsters only, and they would give it across the board. And as long as they were, you know, secular books, they didn't see that there was anything in violation of the Constitution.
How do you think it's going to affect the future of the Blaine Amendment?
Well, I think it certainly makes it clear that the Blaine Amendment is somewhat outdated. Well, the Supreme Court clearly has said before and is saying again that certain indirect forms of aid can be given without violating the Constitution of the United States.
Monsignor, how does the present textbook lending loan operate?
Well, I mean, actually, each school, public or non-public, with children from the 7th grade through the 12th, order each year a number of textbooks up to the average of $15 per student, and they order, let's say our schools order them from the Board of Education of the City of New York. They place the orders. The Board of Education orders the books and sends the books and stamps the books with the name of the Board of Education. They're on loan to our school, you know, youngsters. And each year, as new blue, you know, if new books have to be ordered, they'll be ordered in the same way.
Incidentally, how many children does it affect?
Well, we have 225,000 youngsters in our school system from grade 1 through 12. That's about, I would say we would have perhaps half of those youngsters receiving, you know, now free textbooks.
What's the annual cost?
The state will pay only $15 a head.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I think the amount of money, I don't have at my fingertips, I think the total, you know, the total amount paid by the state of New York last year for textbooks in the state of New York ran to something like $15 million, of which some $3 million or $2.7 or $8 million was spent on the cost of books for children in non-public schools. Most of the money went to the public school district.
Do you think the parents now think about transferring the youngsters from public to parochial school?
Well, we don't have any room. Part of our problem is that we have reached the point of development that we just don't have room left. The only place that we have room left now are some of the areas of the city where there is migration out of the area. But we don't. That's an argument, Bill, that's very frequently used, and I think somewhat unfairly. I can only talk for the Catholic school, you know, system. We've been bulging at the seams for, you know, 20 years.
People, by the way, have the impression that the only denominational schools in the city are Catholic schools. There are others, too, aren't there?
Well, there's about 50,000 youngsters going to non-Catholic religious schools. The largest school system beside our own are the Hebrew Day School Movement. I would say the fastest growing non-public school in the country is the Hebrew Day School Movement. Of course, we've been around a long time, but so, you know, have the Lutherans, and so have, you know, the Episcopalians. We just happened, at some point of history, most of the Irish and the Italians, like the Puerto Ricans, landed in the city of New York, and most of them were Catholic. So as they moved in millions, we had to develop the parishes and the schools, you know, to handle the education.
Monsignor George A. Kelly, Secretary for Education of the Archdiocese of New York, in a conversation with WNBC's Bill Mazur. And incidentally, Monsignor Kelly will be a guest on Bill Mazur's program this Thursday, June 20th at 4 p.m., for those of you who would like to follow this story further. It's 26 minutes past 9 o'clock, and this is Les Elgart and the orchestra in a great old Kurt Weill song called Green Up Time.
Thank you. This interview is being conducted during the Carvel Convention at the new Carvel Inn in Yonkers, New York. I'd like you to meet one of the many successful Carvel store owners. Your name, sir?
Michael Salamack.
Where is your store located?
14th Avenue in Whitestone.
How long have you been a Carvel store owner?
1.5 years now.
What sort of work did you do prior to acquiring a Carvel franchise store?
My previous job was with a drug outfit, and I was an administrator.
Are you satisfied now that you own your own Carvel ice cream store?
I would say yes. The feeling is so much different than working from someone else. You're off on your own. And
may I ask you what sort of an original investment you had in going to a Carvel franchise store?
Approximately $15,000.
What do you feel you can sell your store at the present time?
$70,000 to $80,000.
Now you can own a Carvel 36-flavor ice cream store in some locations for as little as $5,000 cash. For information, write Department N, Carvel, C-A-R-V-E-L, Yonkers, New York, or phone 914-Y09-7200. Area code 914-Y09-7200. It's 9:30 on WNBC's Monitor New York, and this is Jim Gerhart on this Sunday morning, Father's Day. Don't forget now. You know, if you've forgotten about him, wake up. This is his big day today, the 16th of June, Father's Day, 1968. Monitor New York, WNBC New York.
Some piece of mind in San Jose. LA is a great big freeway. Put 100 down and buy a car. In a week, maybe two, they'll make you a star. We've turned into years, how quick they pass. And all the stars that never were are parking cars and pumping gas. You can really breathe in San Jose. They've got a lot of space. There'll be a place where I can stay. I was born and raised in San Jose. I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. Fame and fortune is a magnet. It can pull you far away from home. With a dream in your heart, you're never alone. Dreams turn into dust and blow away. And there you are, without a friend. You pack your car and ride away. I've got lots of friends in San Jose. Do you know the way to San Jose? Never were a parking cars and pumping gas. I've got lots of friends in San Jose.
Singing, dancing, turning on the romance in MGM's Speedway.
He was king of the track until she stepped in and stopped him cool.
Speedway in Metrocolor.
Plus, Soul Madrid, now showing at Lowe's and other showcase theaters in your neighborhood. Check the newspaper. 26 minutes to 10 at Monitor New York. We'll hear in a couple of minutes from Lionel Hampton talking with WNBC's Lee Leonard. Right now, music with Al Caiola. Doing a little scratching. ¶¶
Looking for an answer, please try listening to me, Dr. Joyce Brothers, weekday mornings from 9 to 10 on WNBC Radio. We could find the answer together.
At 22 minutes before 10 o'clock, 70 degrees, the skies are cloudy. Let us now, you and I, eavesdrop on a conversation between Monitor New York's Lee Leonard and music great Lionel Hampton.
Hampton, in recent years, do you continue to travel as much as you did, you know, 15 years ago? I remember every time I picked up a paper there for a while, it seemed to me Hampton has gone to Europe, and Hampton has gone to Asia, and Hampton has gone wherever it was.
Now, Asia.
He went.
Yeah, Asia, great. Now, you know, they said that you can find your fellow musicians any place you go around. You know, the guys like to jam. Well, when I went to Thailand, I said, well, this you know, we just go and do our job, and that's all, you know. Well, we got an invitation from His Majesty, the King.
He plays a little clarinet, doesn't he?
He don't play a little clarinet, man. This guy's on the ball, you know?
Does he really play good?
Man, he plays really good. Yes, Benny. He and Benny played together. Well, we went out and jammed with him, and he was fantastic. He plays alto saxophone and clarinet, soprano saxophone, too.
Do you still travel that much as you were a few years ago?
Yeah, we went to Singapore. We had a wonderful time down there. We got some great musicians down there. And we went to Hong Kong the last time. This is the last trip. And then I came back, and then I went to St. Remus to the Song Festival.
Oh, in Italy. That's supposed to be kind of a wild affair. I mean, all these guys there, it's a competition for the best song.
It was the best song. We had Diana Warwick. We had Shirley Bassey, Louis Armstrong, Aretha Kitt, the Cow Seals, so many great groups over there. Paul Anka.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, you know, that Louis, you know, everybody had to sing a song, and then had to sing it in Italian, you know. And they do it phonetically, see. So they had this big song for Louis to sing called Chow, Star Cell, or Sun Queen. Anybody contact me, Peke, say, come me. I mean, I'm going to sing, you know, tonight, you understand? And so they had this song on a chart for Louis, you know. Big letters, right from the microphone, see? And so Louis went to say Chow, and the chart fell on the floor.
There you go.
So Louis said, Chow, spaghetti and meatballs.
I saw Louis, when was it? Gee, just a couple of weeks ago, and he looked marvelous. He lost a lot of weight.
Yeah,
he looks good.
He was great over there. You know, we kept kidding, you know, about the song. We knew the song he was going to sing, you know, called Chow. And Louis really figured that the Chow was meant something to eat, you know.
Why not? You got to feed the chops with the Chow.
Feed the chops. Chops with the Chow, that's wonderful.
Lionel Hampton, the jazz great, talking with Lee Leonard. Members of the New York State Food Merchants Association are part of the nationwide team of food stores that sell and deliver nearly $60 billion worth of food and groceries to American consumers annually. A big budget, yes, but really a small part of America's expendable income. Customers in New York food stores spend only 19% of their income for food, and that is as compared with 29% in England, 46% in Italy, and 50% in Russia. This is Billy Vera, 18 of 10, who sings With Pen in Hand.
With pen in hand, you sign your name. Today at 5, I'll be on that train. And you'll be free, and can't find the love we once knew. If you think I can't make everything up to you, then I'll be gone and you'll be on your own. You'll be on your own.
And I wonder, can you take good care of little Billy?
Can you take him to school every day? Can you teach him how to catch a fish and keep all those bullies away? And hear what I say. Teach him how to whistle a tune. Can you tell him about the man in the moon? If you can do these things, then maybe he won't miss me. Maybe he won't miss me. Tonight, as you lay in that big lonely bed, can you look at the pillow where I laid my head, and with your heart on fire, will you have no desire to kiss me and to hold me? And if you can forget the good times we had, if you think that the good times don't outweigh the bad, then sign your name.
As is Billy Vera, and that's a musical Father's Day card to Billy's father, who is Bill McCord of our WNBC announcing staff. So to Big Bill from Little Bill, happy Father's Day. 9:50 at WNBC, and you're on the Monitor New York Beacon.
It's Monitor in 68. Your weekend companion keeps you up to date. With news and music and quality on NBC.
On a Sunday morning, June 16th, WNBC's Monitor New York, presenting Mel Davis and the tune Daydream.
This interview is being conducted at the Carvel Annual Seminar and Banquet in Yonkers, New York. With me this evening is Mr. Robert King, a successful franchise owner from Morristown, New Jersey. Mr. King, how long have you been a Carvel franchise owner?
It'll be our fourth year now.
What did you do before you became a Carvel franchise owner?
I was a laboratory technician.
May I ask you, Mr. King, what was your initial investment in a Carvel franchise?
Our initial investment was $27,000.
Mr. King, are you satisfied today as a Carvel franchise owner?
Yes, I found this has been a very profitable business to be in. It's easy to work and keeps your day going all day long.
Thank you, Mr. King.
Now you can own a Carvel 36-flavor ice cream store in some locations for as little as $5,000 cash. For information, write Department N, Carvel, Yonkers, New York. Or phone area code 914 and dial Y09-7200. 914-Y09-7200. The Letterman on Monitor New York.
When the lights went out, were you only a dream that I only dreamed about? Where was I when the lights went out? Was I only the thing you knew you could do without? Was my heart just dying to die one arm? Why did I try to tag along? Was it only a slip, just a trip, but not a fall?
man, where were you when the lights went out? Earlier this week, WNBC's Big Wilson was doing some telephone calls, conversations, getting opinions on the Supreme Court ruling allowing police to stop and frisk. And here is a bit of a conversation that Big had with community relations leader of the Police Benevolent Association, Norman Frank.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So far, everybody I've talked with, and I've only talked with two, have been against the stop and frisk law upheld by the Supreme Court. And I would appreciate your comment.
Well, you are rounding out the picture because we are very much in favor of it.
Well, the purpose, it says, as I read it, is to help the policemen, to protect them a little bit, where they think there is a crime in the streets possible.
Well, Dick, it not only protects the policemen, but it's very much in the interest of the public because we have supported this kind of legislation for a long time. It's an anticipatory kind of law. In other words, if a policeman has reasonable cause to believe that a person is armed, he then has the right to make a predetermination as to whether or not that weapon exists, and as a result, very possibly protect his own life or the life of somebody else.
Well, according to State Assemblyman Rangel, he said that anybody from his community, which is Harlem, who was in somebody else's community might be thought suspicious and stopped and frisked.
Well, this constitutes the belief that there will be a broad abuse of the privilege under the law. And the Supreme Court was very clear in its decision yesterday that it has to be a carefully conducted and limited kind of search. And we must remember that the constitutional guarantee to any individual, if he is wronged, if his civil rights are violated, or if he personally is violated in any way, he has ample recourse after the fact to bring charges against any police officer who overextends himself in carrying out the law.
What you're saying is that the police will be pretty careful before they exercise this right.
I think they'll be very careful because they'll be wary of civil action against them for violation of the rights that I just mentioned.
Yes.
But what it does do, particularly in times like these, where we have so much violence and where there is so much danger, not only to the law enforcement officer, but to the average citizen, this stop and frisk law gives the policeman a right of anticipation. And good heavens, I think we would rather have that than be sorry after the fact.
Big Wilson discussing the recent Supreme Court ruling about the stop and frisk laws, discussing it with Norman Frank of the Policemen's Benevolent Association. Now in Monitor, New York, the new Christy Minstrels, if you listen carefully, Senator Everett Dirksen on vibes here. And this is Gallant Men.
There have been men brave.
good child born in 1962, then he's ready for first grade in September. Now, if you live in a disadvantaged neighborhood, your child belongs in one of the city school system's 880 summer classes for early childhood education. Give him a good start in school. Go to your nearest elementary school and tell them you want your child to attend a summer early childhood center. They'll have someone visit you and register your child at home. But act now. The classes start July 3rd. 3.5 minutes of 10, 3.5 minutes away from Monitor News on the hour. And to fill that time, here is Chris Connor. Telling you now, that is Chris Connor. 1 minute of 10 o'clock, this is Jim Gerhardt, and this is WNBC's Monitor New York. And all the dads out there, this is your big day, Father's Day, June 16, and a very happy NBC News on the Hour coming up at the 10 o'clock hour. After that, in addition to more fine Monitor New York music in the next hour, Big Wilson talks with former city comptroller Abraham Beam. All this ahead on Monitor New York.